And we saw last week from the Scripture that the Holy Spirit had spoken through several Old and New Testament writers and implored them all to say the same thing, beginning with Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, "For the just shall live by faith." That statement, verbatim, word for word, is repeated again in Romans 1:17, "For the just shall live by faith." You find it again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. You find it again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. And so we have four statements from the Old and New Testament that say verbatim, word for word, exactly the same thing. The just, or those who have been declared righteous, shall live by faith. Then in 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Scripture says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." The word walk, the Greek word peripateo, literally means to occupy, to walk about, or to live. And so there again, we have five witnesses from the Old and New Testament that say verbatim the same thing, "The just shall live by faith." Now, we established last week that whenever God says anything, it is important, but if He says it more than once, it must take on additional significance. And just as we all realize that when our parents told us things when we were children, it's important that we take heed or pay attention. And I know that my mother, whenever she repeated herself, she was serious. And so it must be important to God if He says it again and again and again and again and again. "The just shall live by faith." In other words, faith is the way the Christian is supposed to live his or her life every day. Now, let's go to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And here the writer of Proverbs is exhorting Israel and those who follow after the things of God to not forget God's law. And he says in verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." Notice verse 2. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you." In other words, there is a benefit to keeping God's commandments or keeping God's precepts or keeping the principles that God's word declares. "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart." Now, I want you to pay very close attention to the next few verses. Let's go down to verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Now, this is an Old Testament passage that reveals much about the way the Christian is supposed to live. Remember, the Scripture says all throughout the Old and New Testament, special emphasis on the New Testament, "the just shall live by faith." In other words, faith is a way of life for those who've been declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Notice this verse, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Who can give me a synonym for trust? Or what's another word for trust? How could you say that? Trust in the Lord. You could also say what? Believe in the Lord, or have faith in the Lord. Trust in the Lord or have faith. Notice this. With all your heart. The word heart does not refer to the organ that pumps blood in your chest, but rather it's the Hebrew word leb, which refers to the innermost part of your being, or the core of your being. Trust in the Lord with all your inward man. Heart. The New Testament talks about the hidden man of the heart. Peter talked about the hidden man of the heart. Well, why did he call it the hidden man? Because you can't see it. See, I can see your body. That's the house you live in. But I cannot see your spirit, and I cannot see your soul. But yet they are vital parts of your being, but they're hidden. They're on the inside. And so when the Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, the inward man, he's talking about your spirit, and to a certain degree, he's talking about your soul, psuche, mind, intellect, will, emotions. Those are all parts that are hidden from outward view, but yet they're vital parts of your makeup. We all are spirits. We have souls. We live in bodies. You with me? You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. The Bible says that there are three parts to our makeup. That's another lesson. But I want you to see this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, or the center of your being. Notice the next phrase. Lean not to your own understanding. Now, you're going to learn something today. We're going to talk about two kinds of knowledge. Lean not to your own understanding. Another way to say that is don't rely upon your understanding. Now, that's a strange phrase. Why would the Scripture tell us not to rely upon our own understanding? Think about this. Your understanding of the world around you, for the most part, comes through your senses. What you see, what you've heard, what you feel. But yet the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In other words, don't rely upon the information that comes through the senses. Hang with me. You're going to learn something today. Faith is different than understanding. Let me help you a little bit. In the Old Testament, when you see this principle again and again and again, there were times when Israel was facing dire straits, life and death situations. And the Lord would tell them to do something that didn't make sense. And if you were there, I'm sure you would not have understood it. For example, Moses is facing the Red Sea and the Egyptian armies bearing down behind him. And Moses cries out to God, said, God, you got to do something. And the Lord says, what do you have in your hand? He said, I got a staff. And the Lord said, stretch it out and see my delivering power, the salvation of God. Listen, that doesn't make sense, does it? No. But yet Moses obeyed the Lord, stretched out the rod, and what happened? The Scripture says the Red Sea divided and the seabed dried out. That makes no sense. I don't understand that. Well, listen, if you're going to walk with God, you need to learn to trust Him on the inside and not rely on what you understand. There was a time when Naaman, a leper, came to the prophet Elisha because he had heard that Elisha could cure him of his leprosy. And so he goes to Elisha bearing gifts, gold, silver, money, clothes. And Elisha says, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Now that doesn't make any sense. There's not a medical journal on the planet that says that the Jordan River has medicinal properties that cure leprosy. Are you with me? Didn't make any sense. And Naaman got mad, got angry, and almost missed it. But when he obeyed what Elisha said, he was healed. Are you learning something here? And so, trust in the Lord with all your inward man. Don't rely on your understanding. Now, watch this. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. The word acknowledge is a Hebrew word, yada, and it more appropriately refers to becoming acquainted with someone. In other words, get to know Him in all your ways. So notice what it said so forth. Trust in the Lord, or have faith in the Lord with all your inward man. Don't rely upon the information that comes through your senses or your understanding. Acknowledge or get to know Him or become acquainted with Him in all your ways, and the last part of that verse says, and He shall direct your path. The word path is not talking about that walkway that goes along your house to the backyard. It literally means the course of your life. The Hebrew word derech, which is a road term. It means the road of life or the journey of life. And so here we have the Old Testament version of the just shall live by faith, only it's expressed a little differently. Trust in the Lord, or have faith in the Lord with all your heart, your inward man. Don't rely upon your own understanding, what you know and what the knowledge you've accumulated that came through the senses. But get to know Him in all your ways, and He'll direct the course of your life. That's the Old Testament version of the just shall live by faith. Everybody got it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, let's take this a little further. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's explore this a little bit further. We're talking about knowledge, two types of knowledge. This is important if you're going to understand how to live a life of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll learn something here. First Corinthians chapter 2. When you have it, say, I have it. Okay, notice verse 12. Everybody with me? Watch what the writer of 1 Corinthians 2 says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Notice verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, let's think about that statement. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them or understand them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. Here's something that you have to realize, and this will help you in your life for Christ and in your relationships with other people to a certain degree. Natural people, unless they have had a change of heart and have been born again, cannot understand spiritual things. Now, this will help you in relating to your unsaved family members and loved ones. I've had people approach me from time to time, and the greatest need of their life is a relationship with Jesus. That's the one thing they need more than anything else. But yet they want to engage in a Bible debate. And, well, you know, where did Adam, or Cain, somebody asked me this one, where did Cain get his first wife? I said, I don't know. Does that matter? I said, who cares? It's not going to change anything for you. You with me? Who were the angels that cohabitated with women? I don't know. Who cares? It doesn't make any difference to me or you. It's not going to change anything in your life. Or people want to get into discussions about spiritual things, and their spirit is dead. They don't have any life. They don't have any connection with God, so they don't understand these things. So here's the key. When you're sharing with people that you have a relationship with who don't know Jesus, your aim is to get them to know Him, not to explain the Bible to them. Because they're trying to process the Bible with this, and it doesn't work. You with me? And so, of course, that's why they discount it. I heard a college professor say many, many years ago, she said, well, it just so happens that when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, there was some seismic anomaly that caused the Red Sea to lower it's level to about 3 or 4 inches, and that's how the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Really? You ever tried to cross a riverbed when it's wet? Doesn't work. But I thought, you know, this professor must be brilliant, because if the Red Sea was only 4 inches deep, it's amazing how Pharaoh and all of his army drowned in 4 inches of water, you know. But there again, trying to process the things of God or spiritual things with the mind doesn't work, never has worked, never will work. And so you are wasting your time when you attempt to engage into a deep, heavy discussion about spiritual things with somebody who doesn't know God. Because they're trying to figure it out, and they'll never get it. Are you with me? So, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. The natural man's trying to figure it out with his understanding, his mind. So there are two kinds of knowledge. The first kind of knowledge is the knowledge that comes through the senses. What we've heard, what we've seen, what we've felt, what we've experienced. But there's another kind of knowledge that we need to tap into, and it doesn't come through the senses. Turn with me now in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We mentioned this verse earlier. All right, we're about halfway through. You guys cool? I know it's warm, but it's not that bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, we'll look at verse 7. And it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." In other words, we live by our faith, not by what we see. We live by our faith, not by what we see. Now, the writer of 1 or 2 Corinthians could have easily said, "For we walk by faith, not by feelings." He could have easily said, "For we walk by faith, not by what we hear." In other words, we walk and live by our faith, not by our understanding. Now, understand what I'm saying, and let's try not to divorce the two. God gave you a brain for a reason. Use it. Are you with me? When you go up to a street corner and the light is red and says, "Do not cross," use your brain and don't cross the street. Don't be stupid and say, "Well, just because I love Jesus, I'm going anyway." No, you might get hit. Use your brain. Your brain is very good at deciphering natural things. But when it comes to spiritual things, don't rely on your understanding, but rather rely on what you know to be true from this book. Are you with me? Spiritual things are revealed in the pages of this book. So God gave us a brain for a reason. Use it. Don't be stupid. You know, I've often thought, because of all of the things that go on in our culture, that I would, you know, I can't do it because I'm a pastor and because people know who I am. I've always wanted to start a blog called the Dummy Blog. Well, there's, you use another word. You know, because people do the dumbest things. Stupid. Stupid. I was talking to one of the basketball coaches, who I won't name, but you know him, yesterday, about some young men that we want to help. And there was one young man that he actually came to one of our youth blasts several years ago. Gave his life to Jesus, which is great. Thank God for it. But he was running with some guys who were doing stupid things. And wouldn't you know, he got caught up. One of them went in and robbed a place, and he's sitting in the car. And so, obviously, they assume he's the getaway driver. And got into an altercation with a policeman, and it all went bad. Are you with me? And so now this young man's probably going to spend the next 20 years in prison. And you know how much they netted in the robbery? $17. That is stupid. Are you with me? And I tell young men all the time, you're worth more than that. I had a conversation with a guy yesterday. A guy did something to him he didn't like. He thought, I ought to go upside his head. And I told him, I said, look, he's not worth it. He said, yeah, you're right. And I didn't know this guy, but I said, he's not worth it. He said, yeah, you're right, I'm on parole. Okay, yeah, you do that, you're going back to jail. I didn't know he was on parole. But, you know, use your brain. Think. God wants you to think. Understand the world around you. But when it comes to spiritual things, that's where He wants your faith, not your understanding. Are you with me? So we walk by faith, not by sight, or not by the information that comes through the senses. So there are two kinds of knowledge. There's knowledge that comes by our understanding. We need to use it. We need to process it. But when it comes to spiritual things, there's another kind of knowledge we need to rely on. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Are you guys learning anything? Faith is a way of life for the Christian, but we have to know how faith works. Matthew chapter 16. The natural man does not understand spiritual things. They're foolishness to him. But the spiritual man understands all things. Spiritual things and natural things. Use your mind when it comes to natural things. Use your faith when it comes to spiritual things. Okay? Here's another example. Let's establish this principle so that you understand it in a deeper way. Here's a conversation Jesus is having with His disciples in Matthew chapter 16. Notice verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona," which means son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter," or a rock, "and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then He goes on and talks about giving keys of the kingdom, or principles that we can use to lock and unlock things. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus had a conversation with these men. He said, "Hey, who do they say that I am?" Some think you're John the Baptist. Some think you're Elijah. Some think you're Jeremiah. Some think you're one of the other prophets. Men. That's who they said He was. He said, "Okay, who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered correctly. "You are the Anointed One, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because this information did not come through the flesh, but rather it was revealed to you by My Father which is in heaven." And so Peter understood who Jesus was, not by his understanding, not by the opinion of men, but because it was revealed to him by God. And Jesus proceeded to tell him, "Upon this rock I will build My church." Now, He wasn't talking about building the church on Peter, but rather what was revealed to Peter, or revelation knowledge, that which comes by revelation, that which God reveals. That's what Jesus builds the church on. Listen, the church is not these windows and walls. The church is you. The church is you, people who love Jesus. In fact, the word church in the New Testament is ecclesia, means the called out ones. Talking about individuals, talking about you and me. So Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock," revelation knowledge, I will build people, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And he went on to share some other things. So there are two kinds of knowledge. There's knowledge that comes through the senses, and there's knowledge that's revealed, or revelation knowledge. Now, turn with me in your Bibles. You're in Matthew. Turn to the right. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Remember what we're studying, the subject of faith. Faith is a way of life for the Christian. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely upon your understanding, but become acquainted with Him in all your ways, and He'll direct the course of your life. Or the just shall live by his faith. Now, where does faith come from? Remember, we just talked about two kinds of knowledge. Knowledge that comes through the senses, and knowledge that comes by what is revealed. Romans chapter 10, notice verse 17. It says this, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, the Bible says that we are to live our lives by faith. You cannot live a successful Christian life apart from the word of God. Because the Bible says faith comes from the word. Not only that, it says faith comes by hearing the word. Not only that, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing. Notice it doesn't say faith comes by having heard. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, after service today, my wife and I are going to go have dinner at a nice restaurant where it's cool. I already have in mind what I'm going to have. That might not fly because she might have other thoughts. But, you know, there are certain restaurants that I like, certain things that I like. We're all creatures of habit. You're the same way. You know, I like baked potatoes, butter with no sour cream. I like the whole baked potato, skin and all. I mean, I eat all of it. That's just me. I like it. There are certain dishes that I really like. I remember last week we were in California, and I had, a week before last, we were in California, and I had some fish and chips at a restaurant. Oh, was it good. But you know what? That fish and chips that I ate 10 days ago, not going to do me any good today. I need to get some more fish and chips if I want to experience it. See, because life is more than memorizing things or remembering things. What am I trying to say? That food you ate 10 days ago is not helping you at all right now. Amen? If you want to sustain your life, you need to eat today. Okay? Not only that, you need to eat tomorrow. See, that's why we all have refrigerators, stoves, microwaves. Why? We realize that feeding our body is an ongoing process. Well, guess what? So is feeding your spirit. It's an ongoing process. I can't tell you how many times people say, "Well, you know, I'm a member of so-and-so church." That doesn't mean squat. What have you ate? That's bad English. What have you eaten lately? I can't tell you how many times I run into people. You're out in public and say, "Hey, what church you go to?" "Well, this has happened a couple weeks ago." "What church you go to?" "Well, you took too long to answer." You know. "Oh, I'm a member of Reverend So-and-So's church." "Oh, okay." And you know what the follow-up question is. "When's the last time you were there?" "It's been a minute." Listen, if you want to have strong faith, you need to feed your spirit. If you want to keep your body strong, you feed your flesh. Are you with me? And, you know, we make sure, when we do our household budgets every month, the one thing we make sure of is we have money for food. Because your body sustains its life because of the fuel you put in it. Well, I have news for you. Your spirit, your inward man, sustains its life by the food you put in it. We feed our bodies sometimes 3 hot meals a day. Feed our spirits, if we're fortunate, 1 cold snack a week. And we wonder why things don't work out well. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, let me break this verse down for you. Specifically, here's what that verse says. Faith comes by hearing. There are two words that are translated in the New Testament Greek that refer to the Word of God. One is logos, the other is rhema. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. The logos is the written scripture, the ink on the page that I have in my hand, that you have in your hands. This is the Word of God in general. But the rhema of God is the Word of God quickened, or the Word of God spoken. And so faith comes when the scripture that's on the inside of you is quickened to you, or is illuminated to you. I'll give you an example. This morning I was driving in with my wife, and I asked her a question. I said, do you ever wonder why Jesus said, if you go into a city, he's talking to his disciples, and they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and move on. In fact, a couple places he said, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony to them. You know why he said that? And it's important that we understand that principle. There are times that not everybody wants to hear what you have to say, whether it's proclaiming the gospel or sharing good, plain, godly wisdom. They don't want to hear what you have to say. So you know what we should learn to do in those situations? If they don't want to receive it, we move on. So figuratively, we should shake the dust off our feet. You know what that means? Don't carry it with you. Leave it behind. Okay? You shake the dust off your feet and you move on. You don't have dust on your feet anymore. It's back there where you left it. So in the same manner, in relationships with people, you do your best to win them, to influence them, to do all the good and godly things. If they won't receive it, if they just shut you down and say, look, I don't want to hear it, get out of my face, don't take it personally. Shake the dust off your feet. Leave it behind. Go on. There are many other opportunities for you to do the will of God in the lives of people who are willing to receive. Are you with me? But don't go around pouting, hey, they didn't want to hear what I had to say. So what? You know? I'm that kind of person. That's easy for me. I remember years ago, my father-in-law went to visit a woman who was sick, and I'm new in ministry, and so I'm making a home visit with him. And he went to pray for this woman who's in dire straits, desperately sick, and she wanted none of it. He said, well, I just came to pray for you. She said, I don't want you praying for me. Well, when she said that, you know what I did, Ron? I looked at my watch. I said, okay, Elder Carr, let's go. She wants none of it? I'm out of here. But, you know, he had a big heart. You know him. He tried to convince her. He tried to share the scripture with her. He tried to love on her and lovingly get her to open her heart to know how much Jesus cared. She wanted none of it. And she started asking those dumb questions. Well, where did Cain get his wife? I'm like, oh, Lord, you know. This is stupid. It's a waste of time. And so I shook the dust off my feet before we got out the room, you know. But Elder Carr, he is a little more patient than me, and so I've learned to be patient with people. And but, you know, we were not successful in ministering to her. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What this verse literally means is when you live your life by the Logos, you consistently hear the Word of God. Then there are times when the circumstances of life present themselves to you, and the Holy Spirit will reach down on the inside of you, that inward man, and pull up the appropriate scripture to handle this situation. And so he quickens the Word of God to you. So now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. And when God quickens that word to you, you can have faith that it will produce results. You won't be able to figure it out up here, but it comes out of here. Are you with me? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, the quickened word of God, or the word of God spoken. Now, here's a little thing you need to remember. Remember when Jesus said this to his disciples, talking about the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. He said, when he has come, he would do all of these things. One of the things that Jesus said he would do is he would bring to remembrance the things that I have said to you. Do you remember that? He will bring to your remembrance the things that I have said to you. In other words, the word of God that you've hidden in your heart, he will bring it up at the appropriate time. But here's something you must know. If there's nothing in the reservoir, there's nothing to pull out. If there's nothing in the well, he has nothing to work with. In other words, if you made no deposits in the bank, there's no money for you to take out. If there's no word of God in your spirit, there's nothing that the Holy Ghost has to work with. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For we walk or live by faith, not by sight. It's a lifestyle. It's not a one-time occurrence. Amen? All right, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. We'll close with this. Now, after we close, we're not leaving. We're going to have communion very quickly. Amen? How many of you guys are coming to the meetings next week with Marcel and Evelyn? Great. Great. I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. I am so honored that they would come back again. They rarely hit a church our size, but about once every 3 years, they hit us every year. And for the last few years, they hit us twice a year. And I love them. They're wonderful people. All right, Mark chapter 5. Let me show you an example of this principle. Everybody say this with me. Faith is a way of life for the Christian. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if you're going to have a strong Christian life, then you must also have strong faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Trust in the Lord with your inward man. Don't rely upon your understanding when it comes to spiritual things. Become acquainted with him in all your ways. See, that's where you start hearing the word of God. You're learning about God in all your ways. And he'll direct the course of your life. Amen? All right, notice Mark chapter 5. This is a very familiar story to most of us. But I want to show you a few things about what happened to this woman. Mark chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 25. And it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And immediately Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue," underline that word virtue, "virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?" Now the word thronging is the word sunthlebo, and it literally means to be pressed upon from every side. In other words, this crowd was so thick that if Jesus had stopped, the crowd would have carried him forward. People were touching him from all sides. And he said, who touched my clothes? The disciples looked at him and in essence said, what do you mean? Everybody's touching you. Watch this. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." Now, this woman was healed not just because Jesus was anointed. Now, Jesus was anointed. He said in Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of God is upon me and He has anointed me." Jesus was anointed, but that in and of itself is not the reason this woman got healed. From everything that I can see in the Scripture, this woman was not even on Jesus' radar screen. He was on his way to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, because his daughter was at death's door and did die before Jesus got there. But this woman came in the press behind and touched his garment and was instantly healed. Here are the things we can glean from this account. Number one, she heard of Jesus. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When she heard of Jesus, or heard that he was in the neighborhood, faith rose up in her heart. Now, I don't know what scripture she was standing on, but I do believe, in my opinion, she was probably believing Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, "The Son of Righteousness, to them that fear his name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." And part of the garment that Jesus wore was a prayer shawl called the tallit. And you've seen it. It's very decorative, blue and white, and it has tassels on the bottom. And it lays over the shoulders, and it's used for prayer. And it's still used today by Orthodox Jews. And they even pull it up over their head and use it as a private sanctuary for prayer. But when the tallit is laying across your shoulders and laying across your arms, if you lift your arms up, it looks like wings. And so that's why Malachi said, "The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." And so when she pressed through that crowd and touched the tassels on the end of that prayer shawl, the scripture says virtue went out of him. Now the word virtue is the Greek word dunamis. It's the word translated miracle working power all throughout the New Testament. And so when she touched that prayer shawl, the anointing came out of the prayer shawl into her, healed her instantly. And Jesus knew it. And so he finally stopped and said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Everybody's touching you, Jesus. What do you mean?" But she fell down, told him all the truth. Now listen to me very carefully. I want you to get this. Why did she get healed and the other people didn't? Her faith. That's the answer. Jesus said, "Your faith made you whole." A lot of people touched him, didn't get a thing. And he was anointed. But she was believing. She was saying. She was expecting something to happen. She decided to take the route of faith and said, "If I just touch the border of his garment, I shall be whole." Literally, the tense means she was saying. Wasn't the first time she said it. She was saying this a lot. "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." She got out there, acted on what she believed, touched the hem of that garment. The anointing flowed out of him into her, healed her instantly. Now, here's something that I want you to understand, and I'm going to close with this. If God would heal a woman with the issue of blood, then he will heal you. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. That simply means he doesn't esteem anybody higher than anybody else. Listen to me very carefully. If you will do what she did, you'll get what she got. If you'll do what she did, you'll get what she got. But all too often, we're like the other people in the crowd, touching him without faith. You know how people are when it comes to celebrity. Somebody's well known, somebody works miracles, somebody does. You want to see them. You want to, you know, get next to them. I've seen people go goo goo gaga over actresses and athletes. I mean, come on. Grow up. They're people just like you. See, money doesn't change you. Did you know that? Some people think, well, if I hit it big, life would be different. No, it wouldn't. Money does not change you. You know what money does? It only magnifies who you really are. That'll keep some of y'all from playing the lotto. We will not ask for a show of hands. Serious, do a little research. Statistics have shown that 67% of people who hit the lottery for big money, $5 million and up, 67% have financial trouble. 67%. Why? Money didn't change them. It only magnified who they really are. See, you need to change. It's not the money. There was a fella not far from here, Dempsey Town, years ago. I almost said his name. Hit the lottery for big money. And when he died, he was broke. But he had a barn full of limousines, boats, in a barn. I mean, you live in this little hick town down in southern Erie County or Crawford County. What do you need a stretched limousine for? Or two or three of them? Why? That blows the understanding, too. That's just stupid. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Two kinds of knowledge. Knowledge that comes through the senses, and knowledge revealed by the Word of God. We need to live by the knowledge that comes from the Word. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's